It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the weekend, the federal government went into a partial shutdown after the Senate failed to pass a House funding package on Friday. Instead, the Senate sent it back to the House with a big change. The main sticking point, Democrats want to hold out on funding the Department of Homeland Security until they place new restrictions on immigration enforcement agents.
Those demands are in response to major public outcry over the killing of two protesters in Minneapolis by federal agents.
And in just a bit, we will hear about those protests in Wisconsin as some Wisconsin businesses even close their doors for the day.
First, Susan Johnson joins us, associate professor in the Department of Politics, Government, and Law, and associate dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, this very intense immigration enforcement and the protests against it seem to have a direct influence here on the effort to pass a funding bill. How has DHS funding become such a difficult obstacle in passing this overall spending plan?
Well, it's been so front and center in the news, obviously. And with the events in Minnesota, the Democrats, I believe, saw an opportunity to make some needed changes to DHS procedures in regard to immigration reform, given that we were coming up at the end of the month with the government funding bill expiring.
And just a quick timeline here. The House had already passed a bill with six different parts to it, so six different parts of the federal government. One of those was the DHS. Now, they passed in the House, went to the Senate, and that's where we had this change now. The five parts, they're funded as planned. Just this two-week funding for Homeland Security, now it has to go back to the House. Before we get to what could change, do you see this as an easy lift in the House to pass what the Senate just passed?
You're right in that what happened was that it passed in the House and there were things that everyone agreed upon were acceptable. And then when it went to the Senate decided that, again, the Senate Democrats decided that they wanted to take some time to look at the DHS portion of the funding bill. And what that meant was the Senate, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, worked with the Republican leader, Senator Thune, and the White House was involved. And they voted bipartisan, 71-29, to send the bill back to the Senate.
To the House,
with the major change being that the Department of Homeland Security would only be funded for 2 weeks. The rest of the government would be funded through the end of the fiscal year.
Now, the House, there's a tight Republican majority. Democrats have said mostly, yeah, we're not going to help you do this, Speaker Johnson. You're on your own here. Some hardline immigration hawks in the House on the Republican side aren't wild about this thing. Do you see it, prospects for it passing in the next couple few days?
Yesterday on the Sunday political shows, both sides were out there posturing. Speaker Johnson exuded a lot of confidence in saying that there would be the House rules vote this afternoon and that he said that by tomorrow, by Tuesday, it was likely that the bill would be passed and the government would be funded. To your point, they have a very narrow majority, and there have been Republican members who have spoken out. Democratic leader Jeffries has said that don't expect any Democratic votes to help you get this passed. So the sides have been very clear, and now it's a matter of Speaker Johnson getting enough members of his caucus to support this, again, promising them that there will be time now to revisit the funding issues regarding Department of Homeland Security. So he can sell it to the hawks by saying, we haven't given anything up yet. What we're giving them is 2 weeks to talk more about it.
We heard from both Wisconsin senators last week, Republican Ron Johnson, who didn't want this split to happen. It ultimately did. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat, supported splitting out Homeland Security funding. And she is on board with the demands that Democrats have advanced, the main ones, as Senator Schumer has said, end roving patrols by Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, tighten rules governing the use of warrants by officers targeting migrants, enforcing accountability, they say, with universal code of conduct on the use of force, and then prohibit federal officers from wearing masks and require them to wear body cameras and proper identification. There have been other demands from some Democrats in Congress as well. Assuming this thing passes the House in the next couple of days, how tough are negotiations going to be on putting limits on federal immigration enforcement agents?
I think that there will be some level of compromise where all those things that you listed are probably not going to be part of the final bill in the exact way that many Democrats would like to see them be in a version of the final bill. I think that there's also a big desire to put pressure on the White House to do more to rein in, and they've already started to do this, people like Kristi Noem and others. So what I think will likely happen is this will pass in the House, and then there'll be 2 weeks, and maybe they don't even come to a conclusion and they need to do another resolution. But I think more likely will come out where the Democrats in the House and the Senate can say that they've got some restrictions, some new restrictions put in place. And if that's the case, then the Democrats, I believe, will help pass it in the Senate and the House, and the hawks on the Republican side don't have to vote for it.
As you look at public opinion and immigration enforcement, we've seen polling suggesting that support from ICE has dropped a lot since President Trump came into office. Polling on President Trump's handling of immigration has shifted a lot. What do you see as far as public pressure on both parties as they're looking over their shoulders in an election year on this highly contentious issue?
Clearly, the polling data that you reference is what gave the Democrats across the country the impetus to move forward in this way. And at the same time, it meant that there were Republicans who were speaking out quite forcefully, some Republicans, about what they were seeing as well. And it opened the door to have these conversations. And also, the White House didn't like some of what it was seeing. And it all came together at a time, fortuitously, I would say, when these budget negotiations were happening.
Susan, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Susan Johnson, political scientist at UW-Whitewater, looking at the standoff over government funding, a partial shutdown going on right now over Department of Homeland Security funding. Now, on Friday, while Congress leveraged a government shutdown over the immigration issue here in Wisconsin, protesters around the state participated in what organizers called a national shutdown. Participants were encouraged to avoid work, school, and shopping and instead gather for protests. Some Wisconsin businesses even closed their doors for the day. WPR reporter Sarah Lear joins us now for an on-the-ground look at Friday's events. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
What did you see as the scale of these business closures, boycotts, and protests around Wisconsin?
In terms of business closures, it was more so local businesses that shut down, and that was more common in Milwaukee and the Madison area. That's where I saw the greatest concentration of that happening. But there were local businesses who said, hey, we want to send a message. ICE needs to dial it back. Some businesses remained open but announced that they were donating a portion of their profits to immigrant rights groups or to mutual aid groups.
Yeah, that was the focus of some of your reporting on these protests. And it seemed like some businesses generally supportive of the protesters felt like they were in a quandary. They felt a little like, well, should I close or not? What did you hear them saying about how they handled that decision?
Well, I did talk to the owner of Wonder State Coffee, which is based in Viroqua, but has a few cafes across the state. And he said, we are going to shut down our cafes, but we're going to pay our employees for the day anyway. I think some local businesses decided they couldn't afford to shut down or they chose not to. Some put out statements in support. Some announced that they were closing early so that employees could have time to protest if they so chose.
And then turning to the protests, you talked to people at protests on Friday. You shared this with us, Lisa Gruneberg in Madison, describing what she finds troubling about the conduct of ICE agents.
It's the disappearing. It's the grabbing people off the street with no concern for what, if there's a child in the car, if their car is running. nothing. They just don't care at all. They do not seem to think these people are human beings and deserve due process and the respect that they deserve.
What other kinds of things did you hear from protesters about what brought them out to protest?
Right. So that was a protest Friday afternoon at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It was a walkout organized by students. A lot of people said they feel a connection to Minnesota. Some people who were from there, who had family there, who had lived there. A lot of fears, like, it's Minnesota now, but it could be Wisconsin next. And people just really viewed the tactics being used in Minnesota as excessive.
And you looked around. There were other protests going around in Wisconsin, and not just on Friday. There's been a series. What are you seeing as far as the frequency and the geographic spread of the protests going on related to immigration enforcement?
Well, there have been protests all across the state. I know Friday afternoon, for example, there was another protest drawing hundreds of people to Milwaukee. And there have been protests all over Wisconsin, not just the large cities. In Madison, there's kind of a large protest happening just about every week, protesting the actions of the federal government with regards to immigration enforcement.
Sarah, thanks for bringing us up to date. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's WPR reporter Sarah Lear with an overview of protests on Friday. Earlier, we heard from UW-Whitewater's Susan Johnson about the partial government shutdown and the debate in Congress over funding immigration enforcement. Want to hear from you now. Did you participate in protests on Friday or any of the protests in the last month or so as a protester, as a counter-protester? Were you making that decision whether to keep your business open during a protest? How have you dealt with that? If you have a business in a place where people are protesting, what kind of concerns do you have? Let us know. You can email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Again, that's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.